When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show. Welcome to our show.
Fancy Man Part 2. Fancy Man Part 2.
Ooh, I'm excited to be here. Because there's two fancy men in this episode.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Me? You mean Martin Starr and Dermot Mulroney? Or do you mean...
I guess three. So, I guess three.
Yeah, and Jake Johnson. So I actually... So with this episode... And I know we touched on this episode a little bit in the last one, since we were kind of doing a little, like, double trouble, rock block kind of deal. But that's not technically a rock block, separated by a week. But Martin Starr, yes. Such a funny actor, so hilarious. And it's weird because this type of person I find very unappealing, but Martin Starr, like he neutralizes the unappealingness of the character with him being very, like, funny and charming.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of his.
Me too.
And working with him in this episode was, you find yourself sometimes working with someone who you're just watching them perform, and mm-hmm. you're not, I checked out of the scene because I was watching him perform, and he's so funny and so good, and just like you said, makes this character something likable.
Yeah. I remember, and I'm like, I can't remember whether, because wasn't he in another episode too, maybe? I can't remember whether it was just this one or another one, but I remember him, like, just having a lot of good, like, improvisational material. And he was, like, had a little notebook, and he was kind of like, and I can't remember whether I thought it was another episode from this, but I'll have to, you know, once we watch next week, the rest of the season, we'll know if he was back on. I can't remember, but anyway, he's hilarious and we love him. So, thanks for being on the show, Martin.
Thank you, Martin. Fun fact, those are his real glasses. So we end the last episode with Russell asking you out on a date, right?
Yes. We're
asking Jess mm-hmm. out on a date.
Yeah.
And then you guys go on the first date.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go very well. Why not?
It doesn't go very well. I mean, like, Jess really says a lot of weird things. Have you guys ever messed up a first date really bad or said
time.
Weird things?
I've all definitely been on a first date where somebody was like the Jess equivalent. Like they were trying to impress me with how I think smart and educated and worldly they are. And instead, they were just showing themselves, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. And it just came off as arrogant and rude. And I mean, it was so, so bad. I remember we were at a Japanese restaurant and I ordered edamame and he was like, a soy product? I thought you cared about world health and food issues.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? And then he was like, let's order like oyster shots. You'll get 2 points if you can handle it. I'm like, whoa. Check, please. Get me out of here. What
also,
are
if
you
you're in a
doing?
Japanese restaurant, you're like, that's where like the most soy products are. Like,
you
how
brought
do you get through
here.
A Japanese meal without any soy products?
You
like,
picked
it's in
this.
Everything.
Yeah. It was the craziest
thing. He's like,
thing.
I wanted to test you. I'll take you to a Japanese restaurant and let you find the one thing without soy in it.
He's like, I thought fact. You worked at the United Nations and cared about food security issues. And I'm like, okay, all right, buddy.
Fun fact, if you go in the bathroom, there's a toilet that will wash your butt for you.
No, I don't know.
I
remember
press the button on the toilet. Three happy faces.
So I do remember somebody trying to do that, trying to be someone they weren't, and then just like exposing the fact that they knew nothing of what they were talking about.
I do think Jess is a little bit nicer than that guy sounds.
For sure. Oh, yeah. But very misguided, I think, in thinking he was trying to look smart, and it was like a huge turn up. And just,
well, she's like, if you had your prostate checked, we're all decaying. And he's like, not very, like the thing about Fancy Man, he's not very old.
No, I know.
They act like he's like, oh my goodness, he's so mature, but he's like 40.
So he does something that I think is quite rude. Like he just throws a stack of cash and walks out. Where I was like,
and
whoa,
he doesn't explain.
Man. Yeah,
it's
doesn't
justified
explain
later,
or,
obviously, though.
Yeah, but you can send a text even if you panic in a moment.
Well, no, I will say this. Like, like he's like, I get the parent emergency. But, like, as a co-parent myself, like, I would if my kid had asthma, I would never have the asthma inhaler going back and forth from house to house with the kid. Like, you each have an inhaler, like, if the kid needs the inhaler, you know?
True.
Have 50. Anyway. Have them scattered in cars, in houses.
Oh, you know everywhere. I would have them. You know I would have 50.
Every drawer.
That's right. Every drawer has an asthma inhaler. I was talking about this, like how many first aid kits I've bought.
Oh, yeah.
And I broke my toe, like my pinky toe, and you have to like tape your toes together. And I was like, I found like one of the first aid kits to tape them together. And I was like, ah, oh, this is a good one. I was like, because I'll sometimes order them. Like, I'll be like, oh, we need another first aid kit, and then I'll order a not as good one.
Let me ask you a question.
This was a very good one. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. When you broke your pinky toe, did you go to the hospital or did you just MacGyver it? You broke your pinky toe and you sat at home and you taped it up together like a wilderness
person. You can't do anything.
What?
You can't do anything.
Yeah.
Like I.
What do you think they're gonna do? Give you a baby cast?
I called my doctor. But I was like, you know, and then Jonathan like used to do karate like growing up, and he was like, he said he'd broken his pinky toe like 1,000 times. Basically, he's like, all you can do is tape it. And but my entire foot, guys, it's still like broken right now.
What?
My entire foot is bruised.
When was this?
Yeah, The Friday, yeah.
Oh, you just broke your toe.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't hurt that much anymore,
though.
This
is not a history lesson, Lamorne. She's talking in real time right now.
It doesn't. I know. I'm having a real time. But it doesn't hurt that much anymore. It hurt really bad for like 3 days, and then it was fine. But I was like limping around.
Well, yeah.
But,
I limp around when I have the regular common cold. Of course you were limping around.
A regular cold.
Nothing yeah. broken.
Oh, yeah. My spirit,
that's me.
My spirit's broken.
Yep.
I watched this episode, you guys, and then I know obviously you guys are rewatching the episode at the same time, and I didn't realize how much of myself I physically showed in this episode.
Oh, you yeah. did.
That was
oh
rude.
My
you showed
gosh.
A lot.
And a lot of making out and a lot. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was like, my friends are going to watch this, which is funny because millions of people watch this show. And I guess I just forget in these early seasons that it's quite physically involved for Cece and Schmidt.
I have to fast forward yeah. through my own. Like if yeah. there's like a kiss, I'm like,
no, thank you.
I'm like 30 second, like, let's go 30 seconds ahead. Like, where's the punchline? Like, gotta get to
yeah, I felt the same
part.
Way. I was like, oh my gosh, the whole thing, the sexcretary, all of it. I was like, oh, when you watch yourself, well, when I watch myself in situations like that, I just cringe. My whole body just like balls up. I'm like, oh my
gosh. I feel the same way. So I totally relate. You know what's so funny is I remembered the cold open of this episode that there was a joke that I was like, how do I make this work? And this is like behind the scenes stuff that you don't like necessarily like think about if you're watching, but like sometimes you get a joke and you're like, I don't understand this joke. And then you're like, well, like I could just be like, I need a different one. But I remember Brett and Dave were trying to explain to me the joke. And the joke was like, it made it into the cut. It was, I thought at least I'd get a front pat. Hoo ha.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wait, why am I saying hoo ha? And they're like, you know, like hoo ha. And I'm like, why would I say hoo ha? And then I'm like, I did it because, like, that's your job as an actor is, like, to make stuff work even if you don't understand it. But I was like, I don't understand this. I'm like,
have you gotten any clarification on it?
They were just like, you know, hoo-ha.
So even now, like, you still, after watching it 10 years later.
I still don't understand. I think it's more like I'm... like George Burns doing like some kind of like hachi machi, like that kind of thing. Like it's a old school, like maybe like a vaudeville kind of joke. It's a real throwback back to the vaudeville days.
That could have been it. That could have been
it.
That
does sound a little jazz.
Pre-talkies, guys.
Thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, this episode was interesting because we start to see there's a bit of a power struggle between Cece and Schmidt because Cece, she calls Schmidt her secretary, or that's what Martin Starr's character, that's what Dirk calls it. But Cece is like, no.
And it bugs him.
Yeah, because Cece is kind of laying the law down behind his back, but in front of his back at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, is that different for your character to have done something like that in that moment? Where, do you know what I mean? Like, or is that like a normal Cece thing?
I think that's what you start to see in this episode, is that she's catching feelings and it's surprising her and scaring her, and she doesn't really like it, but she can't say no to it. And so it's the first time it's becoming a little real, and she's vulnerable, and now she's the one not in control. Versus the episodes we saw, you know, a couple of weeks ago where she had all the control. But when you start to like someone, you start to lose control of things a little bit because you're vulnerable. So I think that's what's kind of happened in this episode. I mean, there's a lot of interesting relationship stuff that kind of comes up. Like, can you ask for space and be in a monogamous relationship? That's the whole Winston Shelby storyline. Right. And Dirk is like, no, you ask for space. It's the space to
cheat,
go and be with other people. That's what having space means. And I have to say, I kind of tend to agree. And you have to be very specific when you say space. And in this situation, Winston is not specific. So you have to sit there. You got to give boundaries. I think Zoe will agree. Unless you say it and set the boundary, it's a wide open
field. I mean, you should always be clear and set boundaries. Like,
that's right.
And always be as direct and clear as possible, in my personal opinion. But
right. If you just ask for space, though, people will take as much space as they want.
An amorphous term. I don't think it really, it could mean one thing to one person and another thing to another person. So I think you have to be very clear about what you
mean. What you guys are missing are the context clues, the body language. Right before he said that, what did he say? Do you want me to drive you to the airport or something like that? And she's like, no, it's okay. And he's like, I guess I'll give you. He was trying to make it acceptable for her to be going on this trip. He wanted her to feel good.
But
that's why
she said, I'll stay. I will stay if you want me to stay. And then he was trying to be, space is good.
No. He was trying to make it. He was trying to not be clingy. He was like, okay, I guess we both need some space. He said both. He said, I guess we both could use some space, meaning you could go and.
But she didn't say she needed space. So why are you saying I need space if I didn't ask for space?
She did say she needed space when she said, I'm going to Mexico.
She had to go to Mexico.
Yeah, that's needing space.
I have to say, such a funny moment when you get in the car to drive and then Schmidt and Cece are revealed in the back. Classic farce moment.
So
when you're singing along to Wicked.
I have to say, I have to explain this one. I have a better voice than that. And I want the fans out there to know something.
So give us a little bit of popular now with your real voice. That's great.
La, la, la. That last part was what we like to call, and that was right off the dome.
You're not even warmed up.
You and I defying gravity. Y'all might have to turn the sound down and editing on when you down on when you're fixing
it. Loud that it's like distorting in my ears.
I was sick when we recorded that moment, and internally I was peed off because I didn't get a chance to show the world what I was really made of.
Well, now is your chance.
I could have won a Grammy for that episode. I should have, but you were sick.
You missed the opportunity.
I did.
Listen, it happens to Broadway actors all the time. They're out for the week that they're doing the.
Yeah, I was. I didn't have
visiting, and then they're not eligible.
No. I did not have a person to fill in for me. I didn't. I had to show up.
You had to do it. You had to show up and be there, make it your business to be there.
I even asked to do it in ADR. They said no. They said no.
No way.
But then also driving to the border of Mexico, I want to say that was Dodger Stadium. I want to say, and we shot there again, another episode.
We shot at Dodger Stadium a lot.
So when you see the border of Mexico in New Girl, it's actually Dodger Stadium. That's where
I remember shooting at Dodger Stadium on my birthday. I remember being there, and then I like drove home and I was like, after like a long day working and being like, what?
I need a hot dog.
Like, I didn't say that, but I was like, so it's like weird when you're working on your birthday. You're like, what do I do to celebrate? Anyway, guys.
Let's go to a quick break and then hold that thought.
Let's go to a quick break
and we come back. Zoe's going to finish her about how she won the hot dog eating contest after work at Dodger Stadium.
I did not do that. Thank you. I'm a vegetarian. Bye.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
And we're back. So
and
just
we're
tuning
back.
In. Zoe is a vegetarian.
I'm a vegetarian. So she, and you eat meat, right?
I do.
That's why it's okay that we're friends, even though we disagree on certain things.
Even though I smell like bologna everywhere that I go. And
you
I'm dragging when I walk.
You can smell him from afar.
I thought about going vegetarian or vegan, actually. I'm sorry to change the topic, but
Didn't you go vegan for a little bit? I did. Feel like I remember that.
I did. Lost a lot of weight. That felt great. And then I was like, I need a steak. Daddy's hungry.
And then you're like, you know what? I think everybody should do what's right for them. But if you cut back on meat, it's a huge difference for the planet. So, like, even if you eat meat and you cut down on it, then, you know, that's great.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not eating meat anymore, you guys.
Aw.
But I will go hunting. I will go hunting.
Just for sport?
Yeah, I'll hunt for sport. Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, here's the thing. Has a girl ever asked you out, Lamar? And that's the question I want to ask.
Has a girl ever asked me out? Yes. Yes.
Did you like it? Were you like, that's cool? Or were you like, that is not cool?
I did. However, there are moments in my life where I could be afraid of commitment. And I feel like if a girl is asking me out, that means she likes me a lot enough to break the social norm of asking me out, which means the expectation of moving forward in something more committed and long term is there in her mind. And I feel I feel really nervous about that first date because I'm like, what if it doesn't work out? Will she be disappointed? Can I self-sabotage this thing? Will I self-sabotage this thing?
Do you ever purposefully have you ever purposefully self-sabotaged?
I have before. I don't know. I know I've done that before.
What'd you do? What'd you do?
I just shit myself in public. No. no, I feel like the self-sabotage part is more so just the being absent and not being emotionally available. Because I am an emotionally available person. But there are times
you are
where,
to all your friends.
Yeah. But I pretend not to be if I'm not into that person. I think that's my, I don't know if I still do that anymore, but I know that's something that I have done before in the past, for sure.
Well, there's one little lady you're emotionally available for always, and her name is
Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, right. And Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah. And also my daughter. You're right. Yeah. What about you? What about you? You ever asked a man out before?
Uh-uh.
No?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you wouldn't have to.
I didn't have to. I also was like, you know, I feel like it's obvious, like, you know, when, you know, everybody knows, you know. Yeah. I feel like by the time somebody asks you out, they pretty much know, or they're just not picking up on cues that you're not into them. But usually if somebody asks you out, it's because you've sent them enough clues, I think.
When Jonathan asked you out, was it the first time you met?
Well, we were like texting and we were like texting back and forth a lot and like more than like normal. Like, and texting like he made me like, I was like, oh, I think he likes me. Like, made me like a video of him on horseback. Like, he did stuff that was like, and he went on a trip and then like immediately texted me when he got, like, he didn't have cell service for a couple of days. And then, he was like on this backpacking like horse trip and he got down and like immediately texted me and I was like, I think he likes me.
And at that moment, was the feeling mutual or did you see how it? Oh.
Yeah, it was because he was like so nice.
So if he never asked you out, you wouldn't have made a move.
The thing is like, I feel like if he was going to, I feel like I gave enough. I gave enough hints. I gave enough hints.
That's good.
Okay. So have you, let's see. This looks, okay. Do you remember shooting the party scene? Were you not in the party scene? You were driving to Mexico.
I was driving to Mexico in real life, aka Dodger Stadium.
Right. So my stunt double, Monica, did a really funny fall in this party scene. The fall off, I'm on someone's shoulders, and then I fall, like, roll off, like, the table, and then catch myself and, you know, run. But it wasn't me. That was Monica falling, and she's, like, amazing. And I always like to give props to Monica because she's just like such a great stunt double. I mean, you can really, like, especially in comedy, there are times when it's not safe for us to do certain gags, and just to have a good stunt double who gets the comedy of it,
right,
it's just such a gift. So I will just shout out to Monica, who's
shout
amazing.
Out to Monica and for doing some of the most amazing stunts. I mean, you have to fall a lot on the show, I feel like, and you have to do a lot
of... Yeah, and I did fall, like, a fair amount myself, but, like, any, like, really dangerous falls, Monica was just there and crushing it, so...
Ah.
Monica was actually... She was my stunt double on Yes Man. I had to do... There was a scene where, like, my character's, like, skating, doing like inline skating, but like on all fours, kind of. And she was my stunt double, and she was just so good that I was like, I should keep track of her. So anyway,
shout out to Monica, and all the great stunt doubles we've had on this show.
We've had amazing people.
Ones. So in this episode, we talked about it a little bit earlier, where Winston says he needs a little space from Shelby, and then Shelby gets offended by that, and then they both come to their own conclusions. They go through their own inner journeys, and then they realize that's not what each other wants. But Winston kind of takes this a little too far, where he's like, I'm going to drive to Mexico to let her know this, right? Have you ever done anything, you made a mistake in a relationship, and then you said, you know what, I have to make this grand gesture to fix this? Because driving to Mexico is a grand gesture. Driving to Van Nuys is a grand gesture. Mexico, whoa, that's deep.
I mean, I haven't like had to do anything to fix something, but I definitely have like flown places to, you know, it's like...
Privately.
Yeah. You know, it's like you fly a place to see someone or something like that, but I've never like had to fix... Have you ever had to like fix something?
No, everything that needed to be fixed stays broken. I'm not... I am single.
You break it for a reason.
I am single. I wish I fixed some things in the past, but...
You're gonna fix some things with Zoe Kravitz, so...
She gotta realize something. I've been calling, okay? Pick up the phone.
Okay.
You know, that's all right. That's
Zoe
first.
Kravitz.
Yeah, I know.
Who's
you
your
know
second
her.
Choice if Zoe Kravitz is not a VL? Who's your second choice?
Mary Magdalene.
Oh, guys, you know, we have a voice memo from Dermot. Can we listen to that?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I didn't pre-listen, so it's going to be a surprise what his memory is.
Hey. Hi, Lamorne and Hannah and Zoe. Hi, it's Dermot. How's it going? I'm so happy that Zoe, you got in touch with me and asked me to be on your show. I can't tell you how much it means to me. And I definitely want to come on sometime and talk in a lot of detail. But I guess you're talking about the episodes with Fancy Man, which, by the way, you know, gosh, I mean, this whole thing, I didn't know what I was doing, what I was in for. I certainly didn't know what was going to come of it. But it's amazing what New Girls meant to people all these years. And to be any even a small part of it is amazing. And congrats to you guys. You're comedic geniuses. I could tell at the moment I got there. Would love to go around again. How about New Girl 2 2024? Thanks.
I'm in. Okay, well, that wasn't a memory, but I love it
because
it's an ego snack. Okay,
ego snack. That was delicious.
I love it, and when it comes from aw shucks, sweetness, Dermot, like, does he not have like a throwback kind of quality, like a actor from the 1930s, right?
Sophistication.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's kind of like a real life fancy man. There's something.
He is.
Just his voice. I'm just like, I'll listen to you talk all day.
All right, calm
yeah,
down.
Yeah, does he? I'm like, does he do any audiobooks? Because I'll buy them just to hear him talk.
That's right.
I'm like, do you do? He probably does like cowboy books, cowboy mysteries.
I got asked to read the audiobook.
You know, he would do a good, like, you know, noir.
A noir? A dark
an
noir.
An L.A. noir.
Raymond Chandler.
Mm-hmm. A Raymond Chandler.
Mm-hmm. Who's Raymond Chandler? Who is Raymond Chandler?
He wrote these kind of like...
Romance novels? Oh.
No, not romance novels, like mystery.
Raymond Chandler, yeah, wrote all the like L.A. Philip Marlowe mysteries. Like, she was a blonde dame.
Okay. Okay. Shout out to Raymond Chandler.
She caught me by surprise. Like all that stuff, probably like the Pepperwood stuff is just all just like a
Chandler.
A spoof on Chandler a little, you know, like it's like, you know, it's what we think of when we think of like detective, like private eye.
Private dicks. Good old private dicks.
When we come, just a little private dick.
Little private dick. When we go back, we're going to leave. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about private dicks.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident, drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
Okay, we are back. Okay, I have to tell you guys my strongest memory from this episode was, of course, shooting the back of the car. Because again, it's
you had a Thomas guide as your like rap. Do you remember what a Thomas guide is? Thomas guide was like a map of LA. Map.
Yeah, the street
that
map.
Was like, yeah, and they like made some kind of a body like cover for you out of a Thomas guide, and it really.
Oh,
made
I made them make a full cover of everything because it was one of those moments of like, oh my gosh, I really have to do this and appear to be fully naked. And I'm like, and I am quite shy. So I had them fully, literally paper me up to cover me in the back.
You and
of the
I
car.
Probably are like the most modest actresses like in That's the true. World. And they had us on the same show.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
cheeks out.
I was like, do I have to wear a short skirt? Like that feels very like,
yeah, I'm like,
crazy to me.
I felt so vulnerable and nervous. And of course, Max is always so wonderful because Max is like, it's fine. Like, I'll have my body out. So you can be more covered.
Max was always like willing.
Yeah, it was really, he was very sweet about the whole thing, as always in those scenes. But I remember we must have block shot that part of the episode with what must be the next episode where it's Cece runs the marathon and we shot it up at Dodgers Stadium.
We didn't block shoot that.
We didn't pull that from the next episode because we shot that at Dodgers Stadium. And I
you know what? I can't say whether you guys might have block shot that.
Yeah, I think this little bit, and it might have just been the back of the car. I feel like was when we shot that next episode where I'm like doing that running race and he wears that CCC run shirt or whatever. Because it's at Dodgers. And I was like, is that true? And then you see Dodgers Stadium, like the entry gates in this episode.
We went there multiple times though, like Dodgers Stadium. So
all I remember is that after shooting, I think it's the next episode is that I had to then stay all day until nightfall to shoot this bit. And I was like, this is crazy because I was wrapped at like 10 a.m. for whatever small scene I had to do in the morning. And then I just was like, I guess I could go home and come back. And I was really tired. And I don't know why I was tired, but I was. And I just remember I took something like an 8-hour nap.
Oh, I know. That's one of the things about being an actor, that a lot of times they'll be like, okay, you've got a little bit of a break. And then you're like, how long's the break? And they're like, 10 hours.
That's right. So I remember that clearly, being like, I guess I'm just going to, and I remember taking like an 8-hour nap at Dodger Stadium, waiting for it to be dark enough for us to go down to shoot this Mexican border scene.
Yeah.
And so it must be somehow connected in how we shot those episodes.
You know what I noticed that was kind of funny? I don't know if you remember this, but one of your eyelashes is different on one side than the other in this episode.
So this episode and the other episode that it happened is when Schmidt and I are at that restaurant. It was a few episodes ago. And then it was very dramatically. They were applied.
Somebody forgot to curl one.
It's not even that. One was applied laying down and the other one was fully at attention. And I never worn false lashes before in my entire life. So I didn't really know, to be honest with you. I was just like, okay, false lashes on. And I wasn't ever like looking at myself in the mirror, checking it out. I'm like, I just had my makeup professionally done. Wonderful. And here's a true story. So they were editing the episode and I got a call and they were like, so we see that. And they were trying to be so careful about it. Like, something is going on. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And they're like, so we're going to send you to see like an ophthalmologist. And I was like, what? Why? And they were like, well, we see something's going on. I was like, oh, okay. Maybe they're seeing something I'm not seeing. So I go to see this eye doctor and they're examining my eye. And they're like, your eyes are great and perfect and symmetrical. And you don't have a lazy eye. I'm like, I don't have a what? And they're like, well, that's what we're just checking. And I'm like, what? And then so I call back and I'm like, did you guys think I have a lazy eye? And they're like, well, it just, in these two episodes, we could just really see it pronounced. So they showed it to me again. And I'm like, I don't know why that eye looks so strange. Then we went and spoke to makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big conversation about the makeup artist who had laid these lashes very badly. It never happened again. By the way, the makeup artist is someone I love dearly, one of my favorite people. And it was just, I think, a learning curve for her. But it did send me to a professional eye specialist because they thought that my eye looked so crazy.
Well, also, here's the other thing. I can't. We had incredible hair and makeup people.
Incredible.
On the show. Every season, everyone was amazing. But it could also have been that, like, you went and had a lie down. Sometimes have a 10-hour break. You go have a lie down. You smush your little face in the pillow in your, you know, trailer when you have a nap. And then you come out and then you have a lazy eye.
No, I mean, I wish I could take the hit on it. It was not me on this one.
I'm not going to lie to you.
There was no swoosh happening. But I just remember it being like a big thing. And then it was like a call to my agent because it was like a thread going around because I was getting offered beauty endorsement deals. But they were like, well, you know, but there's the comments that she's got a lazy eye. And I was like, no. So that was all just from a makeup artist not putting lashes on correctly. And then they learned how to do that. And thankfully, it was never an issue again. But lay a lash. You got to check your lashes, lay a lash, and make sure they're all at the same angle. Otherwise, people might think you've got something going on that you don't.
Well, yeah. You know what I've had? I've had it happen when I'm tired every once in a while. Like one eye, if I'm really tired or I'm sick, like sometimes like one eye will like be like weird and twitchy. Like I'll just have it happen. Like it just happens if like every once in a while. But I was like, I thought either it was that or I thought it was a lash. I was pretty sure it was a lash, but I thought, or sometimes you can just get one thing going on or you sleep wrong. Like,
yeah.
And your eye looks, you know, different, but
I have a lazy hairline. So that's the problem that I have is that one side.
What's up with your hairline?
Well, one side is like beautiful. One side is glorious. You know what I mean? The other side is still sleeping. It's taking a nap. Hadn't quite woken up yet. And so we're trying to work on that side and his laziness. Maybe throw some caffeine in there. You know what I mean? Wake him up with a little pep.
You should put that eyelash stuff on it. Make it
droop.
Make it wake up.
Yeah, I need that. I need that. Whoever did your eyelashes, Hannah, have them add some extensions to the right side of my
wake
hairline.
Them up.
I'd appreciate it greatly, greatly. Yeah, really quick. I wanna jump into this house party. Okay, this house party.
Yeah.
We is it the first time we've seen a party of this magnitude in the loft? Maybe it's the we've
I
had true American.
So.
Nights,
I mean, this is a massive party.
Yeah. It was a massive party.
He took a real liberty, by the way. When you have roommates to just throw a party like that,
last
it's
minute.
Aggressive.
Yeah, but everybody was gone. Everyone was gone. You know?
And also to have like basically teenagers like that you don't That's know. True.
Getting real, you get a lot of trouble that way. You're getting a lot of trouble.
That's
you
not
know? A real freak factor.
Because he was saying that they were 20 years old. They're still underage to drink. I don't get
it. Yeah, it's funny. It was like the type of thing I find incredibly creepy.
Yeah.
Very
bumping
creepy.
Like bumping R. Kelly in the background.
People creeping on people, I don't like. Taking advantage of people, I don't like it. And it's, I don't like to see Nick that way, guys. But, you know.
I mean, he was really trying to live the life of a fancy man. And it's quite sweet to watch him realize that, it's too much power for him to handle.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And he ends up just vomiting on the side of the road.
Oh yeah.
And great when he doesn't turn around and thinks he's lost at the end of the episode. We should have Dermot back as a guest, by the way, because he seemed very up for that. So if we want to, maybe we can get in touch with him and have him
I believe
share
we should.
Some memories.
I believe we should. Yeah. He'll jump in and maybe do a recap with us. Who knows? Maybe we'll share some memories. I don't know. We need a soothing voice on this podcast. Folks, let's jump into some True American.
True American.
Truest American Bob Dylan or Dylan Thomas. Dylan or Dylan, where the hosts will try to see if they can pass Dirk's class by guessing which Dylan said what quote. Guys,
okay.
This is going to be fun.
It's going to be fun, especially because I don't know who Dylan Thomas is.
A famous writer.
A famous writer?
Okay. Yeah, great poet.
Yes, sir. Yeah, oh, poet.
Maybe throw some Dylan O'Brien quotes in there too while we're at it. Shout out to Teen Wolf.
Dylan O'Brien, who was on our show.
That's right.
Do you remember him?
I do.
Another that's fun makeout scene.
That's the homie. That is the homie.
It was like, he played like the virginity losing.
I think so.
Like right. From prom or what? Jess's prom. Yeah, he was very, very nice. All right, here's the first one. What's money? A man is a success if he gets up in the morning and goes to bed at night. And in between does what he wants to do.
Dylan. I'm gonna go with Bob Dylan.
I think that's Bob Dylan.
I'm gonna go with Bob Dylan.
I say Bob too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got that one right. All right. That is Bob Dylan. Easy for him to say. Successful musician. One of the all-time greats. I mean, you know, if he was shucking and jiving for coins on a train
platform,
he might not say what's money.
That.
Yeah, he was like, I need some. Okay, number two, do not go gentle into that good night, but rage against the dying of the light. That's Dylan Thomas.
That's Dylan Thomas.
From his most famous poem about death.
Okay, I do know who Dylan Thomas is then. Okay. Number three.
Somebody's boring me. I think it's me. That's got to be Bob Dylan.
That's a funny quote, though.
It's Bob a great Dylan. Quote.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan, is it? Who is it? No, it was Thomas.
Whoa.
Really?
It was Dylan Thomas.
It feels Bob Dylan-y.
Okay, Bobby.
Whoo, I guess we don't know Dylan Thomas the way we thought we did. Okay.
Yeah.
People seldom do what they believe in. They do what is convenient, then repent.
That's got to be Bob.
Bob Dylan. It's
very similar to his
impression
first.
You just did.
Did I do a good
People
Bob?
People are seldom do what they believe in. They do what's convenient. They repent.
I know I gave it away. So that was Bob. That was Bob. It's very similar to his first quote. We get it, Bob. You want to do what you want.
Okay, I'll do the next one in a Bob Dylan voice, regardless of whether which Dylan it is. Okay. All this talk about equality. The only thing people really have in common is that they're all going to die.
That's also Bob.
That's Bob, I think.
Bob. That's Bob.
Yes.
Is it? Yes.
Boom, 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 boom. Okay. What was last one? I know. When one burns one's bridges, what a very nice fire it makes.
That's gonna be Dylan Thomas.
That's Dylan Thomas.
That's all. I love that too. That's
it's
a no
old fashioned speech to say when one burns one's bridges, which I love, of course, but it's a dead giveaway.
It reminds me of a quote that a kid told me once. He's like a 8-year-old when I was in church a long time ago, and I forget what I said. I said I couldn't do something, and he goes, excuses are monuments to those who use them. It's people that use these tools that build bridges that lead to nowhere. That's what a kid told me. Yes, a little kid. He's like 8, and I was like, what?
I mean, I love this kid. He sounds amazing.
Yeah. I was like, where'd you learn this quote from? Yeah,
I love this kid.
We did okay. We missed one. We missed one.
I think we did pretty well.
I think we did pretty well. Shout out to the Dylans, Bob, Dylan Thomas, and Dylan O'Brien for making an appearance on this episode.
I think we got like a B plus. That would be like a B plus, A minus.
That's a B plus. Yeah, we have 6 questions. You missed one. That's probably
I think we passed Dirk's class. That's good. That's good. Now all we need is a scarf and some lovely bifocals, and I think we're good to go.
Crackers.
Can we
and
just
cheese?
Say for the where's the bear?
Where's the bear?
This one made me so happy because in the cold open, I didn't even have to do any work because the cold open was loaded with bear references from the Winnie the Pooh.
That's right.
Because he was caught with a shirt and no pants. I love Fancy Man too for making my job easy and proving my point.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Fancy Man too.
We kind of found the bear. I think that's...
All right, guys. We want to hear your where's the bear stuff. We want to hear your thoughts. Your smoothie recipes.
Don't send us pictures of you winning
your favorite memories of Dylan O'Brien, Dylan Thomas, or Bob Dylan.
That's right. Or Dylan McDermott.
Your thoughts on Dylan McDermott. Guys, like and subscribe. Give us 5 stars. we love you.
Love you.
We'll be back.
Bye.
Peace. Bye.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zoe Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zoe Deschanel, performed and produced by Zoe Deschanel and Pierre DeReader. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at welcometoourshowpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.